Welcome to an episode of Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where a trainer and trainee talk about herbal medicine and fitness.
We're your hosts. My name is Danielle Kreese, and I'm a certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. And we also have Paula Kirsch, who's an artisanal herbalist and owner of Botanically Curious. So let's go ahead and start the show.
Hello, hello.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bands and Botanicals. We're here for another episode.
Yes, we are here. We have a little bit of a holiday episode. We are coming up to Thanksgiving. So we wanted to kind of talk about ways you could kind of approach Thanksgiving a little differently, kind of tactics you could take in with you, ways that you could look at your food differently so that you kind of see the nutrients that these foods are providing you instead of just the indulgent aspect of everything. But before we get started, I think Paula was going to pull a card
right for
us. So we are going to get our oracle on.
Yeah, so these are really great, the botanical oracle cards. And today we have juniper. Now, juniper is not a particularly favorite of mine, but it is very versatile. And so these little blue and black berries you see on these evergreen bushes signify some pretty important things. So juniper was used way back when in gin distilleries. It's used to flavor meats and sauces. It goes really well with some grass-fed beef.
And
the reason that it's tied to economy and trade is because of the gin industry, and the Dutch actually exported a lot of this and used it in their flavorings of their gin. So the oracle property of juniper is invigorate, because when you walk past the bush, if it's, you know, on the side of the street, whatever it might be, you cannot mistake it for anything else. Mm-hmm. That strong smell. That's why for me in particular, it's not a big fan of mine, but it really, that invigorate property really talks about like animation, revitalization. It's really telling you to kind of wake up and smell the proverbial coffee, like bam, let's do this. And so that's why I think it's really neat that it's tied into trade and economy. And really interesting as we go into the winter.
So as winter approaches and we start to look at the holiday season, with Thanksgiving in particular, we think of the Native Americans. And the Native Americans actually use juniper as an arthritic pain reliever. And you can take juniper and make an ointment out of it, put it on your joints, and it's really great for pain. But juniper actually, for me in particular, this is why I don't use it, in larger quantities, if you're not exactly sure in terms of dosing, ingesting juniper can be harmful to your kidneys. So please be careful of that. But the Native Americans thought that juniper was a symbol of protection. And the hunters would actually go out and they would have a sprig of juniper with them. And it's just a really neat way to incorporate what we're talking about today.
You know, it's really great, like I mentioned, with meats. So maybe something that you would potentially use throughout the holiday season. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe I'll incorporate it into one of your dishes. And if you do, take a picture and tag us on Instagram, because we would love, really with any herbs that you use that you've heard about, we would love to see how you incorporate them into your day-to-day life. I actually just went to a little apothecary style store myself and picked up a few herbs that we talked about in the pain management episode, some ginkgo, just some hibiscus in general, which Paul and I have spoken about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I start to incorporate those into my day-to-day things, whether it's tea or smoothies or whatever the case may be, I will make sure to put mine up on the Instagram so you can see what we got going on. Because like I said, I'm kind of learning the plant medicine life with you.
Awesome. Yeah. So what do we have on the docket today? We have holidays. So I've got some things, and you have some really great ways to incorporate health and wellness and fitness as we kind of getting to these holidays that are really food-based and kind of hibernation to a certain extent for most people like myself.
Yes. I mean, I feel like there's this idea, especially around Thanksgiving in particular, where the sole focus is food, the sole focus is almost this indulgence, when really the sole focus should be the coming together of family, the saying things in a lot of different capacities. I'm going to get a little woo here, but even if you give thanks to the people who are on the land before you were, because when you think about Thanksgiving,
right.
Absolutely. Mixed messages for some things. So, you know, it's a time to stay mindful, but it doesn't have to just only be about food. And if it is about food, then there are a lot of different ways that you could step into that holiday a little bit, well, a little bit more prepared, kind of have like an arsenal on your back, I guess, to kind of be able to tackle this holiday and still feel good, but still feel like you're enjoying it. As I think one of the best things that you could do going in to your holiday season is to strategize. Kind of go in making a plan for yourself. And one of the easiest ways to start is to dispel this idea that you should almost fast the entire day. If you show up to an event, just like if you show up to a restaurant in a given day or a given weekend, and you are already starving, what is that first thing you go towards? You go towards a bread basket, or you go towards all of the appetizers. Yeah, the cheese, which don't get me wrong, is all delicious. But if you go into these things starving, then you're going to indulge way more on those foods to begin with than even like the more nutrient-dense whole foods that you may find in the actual meal itself. Mm-hmm. So it may seem like a simple thing, but maybe don't save up all of your calories for that one ginormous meal in your day, you know, kind of eat a lighter meal in the morning, something that is going to satiate you and kind of get you ready to go into your celebrations a little better.
Yeah, even if it's like we did today, a smoothie where it's really nutrient dense with some kale and some beets and other things like that, where it's not a full meal. You've got your fiber in there. It's not going to be something that's heavy, but it's going to give you the nutrients you need at least throughout the day. And maybe kind of hold you over until you get to that point.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know we all want to like save that room to enjoy what we want to enjoy. But I think having a really nutrient-dense smoothie is actually a really great idea to go into kind of the holiday season or the holiday day. Also, I think you can kind of prioritize what kind of foods you want to eat that day. Maybe instead of picking as you go, maybe scan the whole table first. Think about foods that you only eat this time of year. Think about something that's going to feel special to you. I mean, you can give yourself that permission to enjoy those foods that you don't have all the time. But if you, you know, on a regular week have your cheese and your cracker and your meat plate, then maybe that's not what you're going to fill your plate with on this day. You know, make it kind of a celebration of these things where you get something you don't always get, and then you don't overindulge on everything else. You just, because it's all there doesn't mean you need to eat all of it. Mm-hmm. I guess. But that being said, and I always want to go back to this, is giving yourself some grace. Like I'm kind of back and forth. I know balance is a huge thing in my life that I am constantly trying to be aware of. And you know, like just give yourself some damn grace.
Yeah, let's not get into any shame spirals because
no.
You went over your net carbs or
whatever, your macros.
Right. Or whatever you're trying to do throughout the year. You know, it's a time for celebration. And for a lot of people who have been potentially growing their own food and everything, really sit with that and resonate with the fact that you put in a lot of hard work into the food that you're now consuming. And, you know, yeah, just enjoy it.
Yeah, that, I mean, especially if you're taking food from your own gardens or even from your local, you know, local sources, a farm that you're supporting in your local community. Like, I think that's a great point. It then also brings the whole idea of Thanksgiving to where it should be.
Right.
Feeling gratitude for that abundance, taking time to feel that connectivity to the food that you're eating and what it took to grow it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of will make your holiday also a little bit more mindful and maybe a little more special if you kind of think about where all of this food actually came from, especially if you were the one who put the work in order to cultivate it.
Right.
And harvest it. Yeah, that's good. This is a difficult, It's difficult. I am a person who goes for seconds too on these days. But going back to strategizing, prioritizing, kind of setting yourself up to just maybe feel a little bit better is you don't have to go for seconds and thirds. And that the beauty of not going for seconds and thirds is that you save room for dessert. Right. I mean, like it's a give and a take. Like you don't have to leave a Thanksgiving meal feeling sick to your stomach. Mm. You know, like you don't have to have the appetizers and three portions of the meal and all the dessert. You know, like save for leftovers, like get creative. Like think about how that meal can sustain you for the rest of the week. For a lot of people, leftovers is some of the most exciting parts about Thanksgiving, like making like huge turkey sandwiches, excuse me, or like soups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing you could do is if you really are looking like, okay, your stomach can really only hold maybe 4 to 5 ounces worth of stuff anyway. And if you look at a 4 to 5 ounce bowl, we're not even eating that the majority of the time. So when you go in for that second plate, cover it with tinfoil, put your name on it, set it to the side. I know in my family in particular, back on the East Coast, when we'd all get together, it was like, you know, pushing through, shoving some elbows, get the hell out of my way. Like that's mine. And there's this kind of scarcity thing that some people get when they get around a lot of food, especially in a buffet style. So make that second plate, put your name on it. I don't know, lick it, whatever you're going to do.
Well, especially during the year of COVID, licking it would probably keep plenty of people away.
Right. And then just save it for later and enjoy some conversation and some other things.
So kind of speaking of like, you know, making a soup afterwards or kind of like, just making the food in general, you know, if you know that on your plate or your family may not have a bunch of healthy options, maybe that dish that you contribute is a little bit lighter. It doesn't have to be a plain salad with no dressing.
Right.
You can make something nutritious and delicious that's going to be satiating and satisfying for people, but you know what you put into it. You know if you use, you know, alternative ingredients. So Paula, question for you then, like what are some, if people are making their own thing mm-hmm. or if people are going to make a soup afterwards or something like that, what are some herbs or some, you know, things that they could incorporate into their dishes that are going to make them more nutrient dense and kind of make you feel better about ingesting them?
Yeah. You know, there's some stereotypical herbs and spices that we use throughout this type of holiday season. You know, you're going to see a lot more. The nutmeg, clove, some of those things.
Rosemary.
Right. And I think I'm going to go, you know, with a few of those and then a few different things. So if you're talking about incorporating some kind of light, maybe appetizers or some light dishes, basil's really great. Now, we talked in, I believe it was the last episode, about ways that you can grow over the winter season, brighten up the space that you're living in, things like that. So the three that I'm going to be talking about today really touch on being able to grow them indoors, inexpensive, and then incorporating them into foods and teas and all of those things.
Oh, nice. So yeah. Multi-use and then, you right. know, whatever you have available, whatever your climate is, you could still incorporate these.
Yeah. So the first one is basil. Now, I really like basil because you're getting your vitamin K, you're getting some magnesium, iron, vitamin A, and vitamin C. So when you're going into the winter months and you're really thinking about your skin and some of those things, basil's easy to incorporate. It smells amazing. I love basil.
And people feel comfortable using basil right. too, right?
Super, super easy to incorporate. You're probably already doing that. Mm-hmm. Now you can get a small little pot, put it on your windowsill next to your kitchen sink. And as long as you have a decent amount of light and you keep it, now I always keep it next to the sink because if I forget to water it, basil is one of those that really enjoys moist soil all of the time. And so you have to keep it, you can even water it daily indoors, but it'll actually grow really, really well. I personally have started using Let Us Grow, which is an app, and they offer indoor grow sets and all these things that are sometimes really expensive, but you can get the seedlings that are already pre-sprouted. You get this really cute little basil seedling with the leaves and everything for only $2. So you go the lettuce, like the lettuce you would eat, Lettuce Grow app on your, what is it, iPhone app store, and download that. And then you can get all of these different seedlings, whatever they have in stock right then and there, and it ships same week. So by the end of the week, you'll get something. And then by the end of the month, you'll actually have enough basil to start cultivating. And so easy to grow. You can use, I love basil and eggs. So ooh. I do scrambled eggs with basil. It's awesome. I throw in a little tomato. Yeah.
Definitely pesto.
Right.
Definitely pesto.
I do a kale and basil pesto. And this is really great. If you don't have pine nuts, you change the flavor a little bit by using sunflower seeds.
Yes. But
yeah, sunflower seeds you can use. I might even post a little recipe about that on our Patreon.
Yeah, you could also do a broccoli stem. If you use broccoli florets for anything that you're right. doing for your meals this Thanksgiving, you can make a broccoli stem pesto as well. And Paul and I were talking earlier that the stem often holds more of the nutrients than the florets do, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
And I actually recently made that recipe as well, following someone's guide, and they use sunflower seeds too, and it was really refreshing and delicious.
And one of those that you don't necessarily think of that has potassium. So basil has some really nice potassium in it, and the reason why I always like to say, like, okay, why are all of these vitamins important? But potassium in particular regulates the fluid balance within your body, which is really important. We might be getting extra bloated, some of those things throughout the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Your muscle and nerve
drinking
contractions.
Drinking one too many bottles of wine.
Right, exactly. and then, you know, your nerves and some of those other things where if it's a higher stress situation or you're going into the winter months and you want to support your nervous system, you want to support all of those things within your body. And it's easy to do with a little bit of basil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What else you got for us? My herbal wise one.
This one, I actually incorporate into a lot of my teas and bath salts and a lot of my, face scrubs and things. It's calendula. So, some people might know it as marigold. It's actually a little different than your typical marigold that you would see, like you would buy in a store. It's from the daisy family. So it's like, it looks like a daisy. It's got that marigold color, really nice. But I really like it, especially for women's health. It actually is more beneficial than raspberry leaf some of the time for all of those same things.
Mm.
You know, helping with the female reproductive system. It helps with your skin, helps with your nervous system a lot of the time. And inflammation. So we talk about that with a lot of things. Aids in stomach issues. So supports the lining of your stomach. So if you're potentially eating more acidic foods or you just produce more acid naturally within your stomach and you're looking for something or you're prone to maybe ulcers or anything. So this is really great because it touches on a bunch of different points for men and women and really easy to incorporate. I like to put it in for the holiday season into herbal butter. So if somebody's looking, okay, what can I make? I don't cook. I want to bring something that maybe if I am going to be meeting with people throughout the holiday season, that's a little flashy. Herbal butters are really easy to make and they're really nice. And it's a good way to incorporate. You can put it into coconut butters. You can put it into, you know, grass-fed beef type butters, but I put the calendula leaves, petals within there. And, you know, you can always add other things like parsley or even basil, you know, incorporate all those and have a really nice herbal butter.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. And so that's a really nice thing if you're not putting it into a tea or a smoothie. Butters are super easy. And then you can put them on rolls or anything throughout the holiday season.
Mm, yeah. And then, you know, what I love about kind of adding to these staple ingredients is that you do like bring in more nutrients to them. And then you do feel like you have kind of a say in your health and in your wellness. Like for example, this is kind of off topic, but I made spinach banana pancakes recently. And my dad, I was talking to him about it and he's like, but why would you just like put spinach in pancakes? Like just have pancakes. And I was like, you know, they tasted the same, but it really felt good that one, I was getting down to the end of my spinach and it was getting a little questionable and I needed to use it.
Right.
And two, I knew that even though I was having pancakes and they kind of felt indulgent and all this stuff, I was packing them with more nutrients than if I just made the pancakes from a box. I used whole wheat flour, banana, the spinach. And like, I knew that I was fueling my body in a different way while still having this really kind of like what felt like a decadent breakfast, because usually my go-to is just eggs or something like that, you know?
Right.
So
yeah,
it's nice to be able to incorporate these into like base mm-hmm. ingredients mm-hmm. and feel like you're getting something more out of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that being said, kind of talking about these foods and stuff, like you could kind of break down your meal or break down your plate, I guess you could say. Your protein, a good carb, veggies, you know, trying to make your veggie portion bigger than necessarily your carb portion. But, you know, sweet potatoes aren't the enemy. You could really enjoy those. You get into like a lighter gravy, even if you still want to enjoy that kind of like sauciness that comes with a mash and kind of that feeling of Thanksgiving. And like I for one like to put garlic
oh, yeah.
into everything, like everything that I eat. And I feel like, you know, with these meals, that's definitely going to be in almost every dish, I would say. Garlic just seems to be something people are always incorporating. So
right.
like, I know that we talked about garlic earlier, Paula. Are there like certain things people should look out for? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so garlic's a really great one. Actually, this time of year, right at the end of fall, coming into winter, you can plant some garlic cloves if you have your own little garden outdoors even, and then they'll sprout in the spring, which is really nice. Now, if we're talking about herbalism and more of the medicinal uses for garlic, some people potentially use garlic tablets or capsules. With the garlic oil because they don't like the flavor. And the only thing I can say to that, right, is to really be wary. If you're already on blood thinners, garlic is a natural blood thinner.
Hmm.
And so just something to look out for when you're trying to look at that, because you can research online a lot of this yourself. The reason I really like herbalism is because you're taking back ownership of your health and your wellness and being on that journey
mm-hmm.
and not going to, not saying that it's not important to do this, but not always going to the doctor for answers, really researching, looking at that, knowing what your body needs, you know, listening to your body and saying, okay, maybe I need a little more vitamin B6 or, you know, some of those other things. Maybe I'm diabetic and I'm trying to look for more health, more natural ways to kind of combat some of those issues when I go into the holiday season, because for diabetics in particular, it can be tricky going in unless
mm-hmm.
the whole meal is geared toward them.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people will use garlic tablets or so most of the time when you're using garlic, it's to flavor dishes.
Mm-hmm.
It pairs really well with like some of the root vegetables that are naturally being harvested this time of year. So easy to incorporate. Good for overall health, good for women, you know, if you are pregnant even. You know, some people come to me and they're like, okay, what herbs, what things are healthy for me while I'm pregnant? So those are some of those things that you can still incorporate. And some interesting studies with garlic. When we think about food and things that we just incorporate naturally, we don't think that they really or we're not mindful a lot of the time
right.
of what those things can do.
Yeah, we have such a disconnect. We have mm-hmm. such a disconnect from looking at food as not just something we have to consume in order to live, but what is this food doing for us? And all of these things that you regularly eat, you're doing such amazing things for your body potentially. So
you can do garlic and butters. You can do other things. Now, if you want to incorporate all of these within a dish, you can do a basil and kale pesto, throw in some garlic, do an herbal butter with it, and then use spaghetti squash because that's here within this time of year right now.
Mm.
And make a really nice Italian type of dish that's not going to have the heavy pastas. So
do you usually
I know
pasta on Thanksgiving?
I'm from the East Coast, so I'm Italian and Irish.
Oh, okay.
And German is really, you know, we're mutts over there. And so you can do like, you can do some of this.
Ooh, I mean, I feel that.
We have a modj podge of things.
I like it.
But if you want to incorporate those, usually people think garlic and basil. They usually think, you know, Italian type dishes.
Yeah.
Within the holiday season and make it yours, you know. I mean, as we know, a lot of the things we learned when we were children about how fanciful Thanksgiving was and how we were friends with the Native Americans and everything really wasn't the case. And Columbus wasn't the greatest guy in the world. Like all of those, you know, statues and things proclaimed him to be. So make it your own, take it back, make what you want.
Yeah. And, yes, totally. Yeah,
definitely.
So is there a way, like we talked about like women's health with garlic and stuff. I, you know, we've had these discussions prior to doing these podcasts, and you even mentioned like it helps with periods and stuff like that as well. But what can it do? Has there been anything that shows like how it helps men?
Right. So prostate health is a big thing for men. If you have some men in your life who are not necessarily prone to going to the doctor, you're like, eh, I'm just going to shrug it off.
My husband.
Right. I don't need to go, whatever that is. I'm tough. Prostate cancer is a serious thing. And if you're not going to the doctor on a regular basis, as you start to age, to really look for those things, if you're not taking like salt palmetto, some of those other herbs that are really helpful for prostate health, you can kind of get into these tricky situations. But incorporating garlic, there's some studies that show that it actually up to 50% lowers your risk of developing prostate cancer, which is really nice. And so this is in China that this study was done.
And it doesn't take – does it take a huge amount of garlic?
Yeah, so it's you can flavor your dishes, you know, like a clove a day or something like that with something you can throw it into, like a smoothie,
so easy.
Butters, whatever it might be. Yeah, to incorporate it. And so to know that you're getting that whole health, whether you're a man, woman, whatever it might be, and making sure you're taking, like I said, taking back some of that ownership as you get older and just easily incorporating things for preventative care.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think we want to like instill, you know, that's one of our messages is if you take care of yourself regularly, you know, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but just knowing things that you could incorporate, like it's going to have benefits beyond just today, beyond tomorrow. I mean, going into your later years, like set yourself up, basically.
Right.
Set yourself up to take care of yourself, to feel good. You know, it's a crazy world, but it's also a beautiful world and you want to be a part of it. So these little things that you could incorporate into your life, especially with these foods that Paula has talked about that we already kind of do and that we feel really comfortable with. I mean, take advantage of that. One thing that I wanted to talk about real quick was kind of how you can organize yourself prior to or even after the holidays. Plan your meals for the rest of the week. You know, if you know that you're going to go for it on Thanksgiving, then make the rest of your week really focused, really dialed into having really nutritious, nutrient dense whole foods that are going to take care of your body, that are going to fuel your body. If you know that you're going to be on vacation or you know you're going to have a little bit of downtime, plan more movement in your day or in your week. And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I got to leave my family and I need to go to the gym and hit it hard like every single day. But maybe you wake up and you take a walk with your family. I mean, this sounds crazy, but one of the most beautiful things I think I saw come out of COVID and quarantine was the amount of families I saw walking outside together. So it doesn't have to be like this huge hour that you take away from your family.
Right.
You can incorporate your family into it. And especially if everyone may be of different ages or different levels or intensities, whatever the case is, like a walk is so enjoyable. I thought it was such a beautiful part of quarantine because it really focused people on taking time with each other, stepping outside away from like a screen or a distraction, and just being able to talk and being able to connect with everything outside. So that's such a simple way that you can move and set yourself up at the beginning of the day. Play frisbee, like, you know, run around with your dog, like just have fun with it. It doesn't have to be the same strict regimen you're on, but you can sprinkle your vacation with these opportunities for movement that will kind of, again, set yourself up to feel better physically and mentally after maybe a big celebration.
Now, the other side of this coin, when you're potentially not seeing your family very often, and maybe at this point, people are traveling home for the holidays, and your family might not be health focused. It might be that you come back, you're maybe changed a little bit, maybe you look a little bit more fit, you're more focused on health, you ask them beforehand what kind of meals they were serving. You bring a dish, or you wanted to prepare a dish that's mm-hmm. maybe healthier than what they're used to, because when it comes to holidays and tradition, people can be really protective around those things.
True.
And the holidays are already stressful. They're already heated. How do we combat?
This year maybe a little extra.
Right. How do we combat that when you're trying to come in with these new ideas, healthier ways of doing things? Maybe we go on a walk and then you're kind of met with this hostility, or not even hostility, but.
Well, kind of hostility.
Yeah.
You know, there is a sense of hostility. There could be a sense of shaming that is done. And this doesn't happen during the holidays. I know that it can be exaggerated or kind of made more big during the holidays, but this happens all the time. You know, it happens to me often. Like if I want to like exercise and I'm on vacation with friends and I want to do that before the day gets started, sometimes I'm met with these looks or these comments like, why are you making us all feel bad? Like, you're making us all look like shit, or, you know, and really you're not doing anything for anyone else. You're doing everything for yourself. So that being said, we cannot all avoid our family, nor do we all necessarily want to completely cut people out of our family. Especially if you're in a gathering, there may be one or two people that want to push your buttons when other people don't. So it's going to kind of be hard to completely separate yourself. That's not always an option. So I think a really, really good option is to set, respectively, some boundaries beforehand. If you know that you are going to come into this with a different perspective or with a different mindset, especially if it's garnered around food and health and potentially weight loss, you know, those are trigger points for a lot of people. So when they are projecting onto you, it may not be because of this need to cut you down. It may be because that's where they struggle. So they kind of project that onto you. So one, even though it's really, really hard, take it with a grain of salt. Two, set that boundary. Maybe before you even get together, send out a little message to everyone and be like, look, guys, or look, fam, I am kind of on this new journey for myself. I'm really trying to stay focused. I know that the holidays are hard. You know, I may bring something extra. Just please give me like that grace or that respect. To kind of create that space for myself so that I feel better. You know, it doesn't have to be shaming on anyone else. It doesn't have to be projected onto anyone else.
Right.
But you could just be like, this is what I'm going to do. This is kind of for me. And please kind of respect that before you get together, before you start having some drinks, before, you know, the whole family may be watching while certain members are saying things to you, because then you almost feel set up. And if you react, then you're that person who reacted. And it's just like, oh, look, Danielle's crying again in the corner. Not saying that's ever happened to me. It has happened to me. But, but you know, and I really think that could be a healthy, like, non-dramatic way to kind of just go into it being like, things are going to be a little different for me. Please respect that. And creating your own dish, maybe,
and,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Coming in there and saying, I'm not trying to change anything. These are additional things I'd like to bring to the table. You're always going to have those people, even unfortunately within your family, that don't respect you, but they don't need to live your life. They're not having the struggles that you're having, you know, and like Danielle said, take it with a grain of salt and do what's best for you,
yes,
for your family. I know it can be really difficult if you have children and then you have in-laws that potentially look at health and wellness in a completely different light. Some might even feel like sugar is actually a food group and it's no big deal that your kids are overindulging in those things. And you're trying really, really hard not to be the shrew during the Thanksgiving season. Just know, you know, we feel for you. We're there with you. And
yes,
do the best you can. Hang in there.
And you know, try to surround yourself with the people who are going to support that goal of yours, who are, you know, if you have a couple cousins, or you have like an aunt or uncle that you know is kind of toxic for you, say your hellos, you know, wish them well, but maybe don't fully engage. You know, Thanksgiving is only one night. Like, you need to stay true to yourself for the entire year, let alone your entire life. You know, you don't have, and this is really hard, and I struggle too, so it's not, you know, throwing rocks at glass houses type of situation. Paul and I talk about things that we struggle with ourselves.
Right.
So these are good reminders, not just for you guys, but for us as well. And like Paula said, just know we're in support of you, and mm-hmm. and try to hold on to those people who are, because, you know, they're going to help you reach those goals for sure. And I know that that family, even friends, like, it could be so, so tricky.
Oh, yeah.
So just take a deep woosah sometimes. I guess something I'm a little nervous talking about it, but, you know, there are people who focus, you know, some people are trying to bulk up so they will have, you know, higher caloric intakes for that time period. Some people are trying to lose weight, so they may be in a calorie deficit. You know, if you think that you go into the holiday seasons and you're someone who really likes to enjoy them, mm-hmm. you like to enjoy the cookies, do you like to enjoy extra drinks, or whatever the case is, and there is absolutely no judgment or shame around any of that, because it is a time to enjoy those things as well. But maybe if you know that you're going to, and you feel comfortable kind of tracking calories and not getting crazy about them, because that's really not any type of message I ever want to send to anyone. But maybe for that month leading up to the holidays, or a couple months leading up to the holidays, maybe a slight calorie deficit so you don't, or even just like maintaining your weight, so that you don't, you know, if you do put on a couple of pounds, it doesn't become this huge thing of, oh, I'm heavier than I've ever been, or blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, they're all on the same day every single year. We know when they're coming. Right. So how can you prepare so that, you know, if you do have that range, you could, I don't know, feel okay about it. Like, mm-hmm. everything we say to take with a grain of salt, because I never want anyone to feel like they have to spend an entire day counting their calories every single day leading up to every single holiday.
And if you are one of those people who do count your calories consistently, hey, more power to you.
Power to you.
I can't do it.
Just keep your mental health in check too. That's
yes.
all I'm saying.
We're coming into the winter. Keep it in check.
That with that being said, this is kind of one of the last, not one of the last things. I could talk all day. But being realistic, look, it's the holidays. Mm. You're slowing down. The weather may want you to slow down. A cold may want you to slow down. You go. I don't know if everyone's going to be going to parties this year, but normally in a normal year, you have a lot of events, blah, blah, blah. Maybe instead of focusing on weight loss goals, mm-hmm. you focus on maintaining, so that you don't set yourself up to feel bad. Like, you don't have to be losing weight during the holidays.
Right.
Maybe during these times of a little bit extra indulgence or a little bit of this and that, like, you focus on maintaining, because maybe that's going to keep you a little bit more sane.
Even if they're non-weight goals, like, if I would really like to hear from listeners about what some of their goals are coming up to the new year, or maybe they're already setting them before the new year. You know, if you're working with 15 pounds, you want to go up to 20 pounds. Some of those things where you are rowing and you get to a certain amount of meters, you want to go further than that. Some of those non-weight goals, even just maintaining that throughout the holiday season and throughout the winter mm-hmm. is a huge, I mean, it's a huge step. Because there's yep. a lot of backsliding that happens.
Yeah. I mean, like, those mornings, or let's say even Thanksgiving morning, because that's kind of the holiday we're focusing on. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving morning, you feel so much adrenaline. There's a lot going on. Like, I know that you may be busy cooking, but maybe before the party starts, maybe before the indulgences or whatever, maybe you set yourself up by doing that little workout in the morning or some meditation in the morning, just something mindful that is going to keep you on track, is going, you know, if you meditate, like, that is a non numerical goal that, while it may not have, I do think it'll have physical benefits, but, you know, not necessarily scalable physical benefits, but that's something that could still keep you on track. Like, it's not all about the number on the scale. And trust, we are going to have an entire podcast about that. So we're not going to go into that too much, because that can be another spiral mm-hmm. that people can really, really get into.
Absolutely.
So how can some of this food be used to fuel your body? Because you can use these extra calories, you can use this food as fuel, like I just said, like things that you could use to put towards your workouts. Mm-hmm. So we all protein. We all hear about protein. Obviously, we know what the big protein is for Thanksgiving. Are you a white meat kind of gal? Or are you a dark meat kind of gal?
I am always white meat. I can't do the dark meat.
I'm largely white meat too, but I hear that the dark meat has more of the vitamins and the minerals.
Really?
Yeah. So a good kind of maybe compromise would be maybe the majority of your meat, if you prefer the white meat, would be to have that on the plate. But you do incorporate some of the dark meat. Mm. Or you could have the dark meat with a scoop of sweet potato if it's not really your thing, because that is the more nutrient-dense part of the chicken from what I have researched. Mm. And we all know what protein's good for.
Muscle building,
yeah. Building blocks of bones, muscles, cartilage, skin, all of these things. So look at it as being like, when you eat that turkey bite, be like, hell yeah. My muscles are going to feel good for this.
Right? Absolutely.
What's one of your favorite sides?
Oh, gosh. Potatoes. I'm so boring. Like potatoes with garlic or whatever else.
Oh, yeah.
It's just comfort food for the most part. Now, being older and knowing that I have to be more conscientious about nutrients and everything, I like to do the sweet potatoes instead, mm-hmm. Knowing that they have a lot more of that nutrients that I'm looking for. And I don't, you know, it brings in more flavor, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, sweet potatoes, antioxidants, immune system support, which right. goes along with a lot of the herbs we were talking about. So imagine you threw, you know, some of the herbs we spoke of into your sweet potato, into your mashed potato dish, and you know that you're getting all of this immune support from mm-hmm. these delicious foods. I mean, my dad likes to make sweet potatoes with a shit ton of marshmallows on top. So, you know, it's a little give and a take. Maybe there's another mashed potato dish that doesn't have all the marshmallows, even though it's freaking delicious. Do you like Brussels?
I do, yeah. They're a little more fiber dense. So sometimes, you know, they don't agree with some people. But yeah, I like them fried.
You like them fried?
Well, you know, like pan fried.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Super.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Get a little brown on them.
I love them in that oven. And then when the little leaves fall off and they get all crunchy.
Right.
I'm not going to lie, I like to throw a little bacon in there too. And a little bacon in your life isn't the end of the world.
Right. Yeah.
It's not. It's really not. Especially, you know, it gives that extra little bit of fat, that extra little bit of juiciness that may come with your Brussels sprouts. But they're, correct me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, but a cruciferous vegetable.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like broccolis mm-hmm. and cauliflowers and things that really, for some people, actually, I'm one of those people that don't do well, especially like when cauliflower started to be a big thing. And it was used in pizza crusts and all of those things. I would do raw cauliflower mm-hmm. and realized I cannot do that.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, you may be experimenting a little bit with some of these foods, but if you do know you could take them, Brussels sprouts are good for anti-inflammatory components and things such as that, which, again, works for your workouts. Like mm-hmm. all of these foods can help with your fitness journey.
Right.
And with helping to recover, with helping to energize. I mean, that's like the beauty of food. It's not this enemy. It's what we need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, dessert.
Mm.
Bam, bam, bam. I am an apple pie kind of girl.
Nice.
But I hear pumpkin pie is actually your best go. What do you usually go for?
Yeah, I'm pumpkin pie. I have a weird thing with warm fruits. I don't know if there's any listeners out there who do not like warm fruits, but I don't know. Fruit should not be warm.
Dang. Have you ever had a grilled peach?
I have. It sounds delicious, but I wouldn't be able to eat it.
Grilled peach. Bam. Option for a dessert. But not for Paula. But she does like pumpkin pie. And I was doing some of my research and I found that, you know, if you were going to go for that dessert, one, have the damn dessert. Mm. It's okay. You don't have to have 12 pounds of dessert, but have the freaking dessert. Like mm-hmm. you're not going to lose all of the progress you made by having dessert on Thanksgiving. And if you go for pumpkin pie, pumpkins have vitamin A in them. So again, you're getting kind of...
they're seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, you want to really pick seasonal things. Maybe go to the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
Make that conscientious decision.
I've been trying to be more aware of that. The things that I'm eating, are they seasonal? Or because naturally, I mean, that's how people ate for so long. Obviously, you didn't have the ability to import from all these tropical islands that are still growing fruit in the middle of your dense winter. So yeah, I think that's a really good point. Like
but
that is seasonal.
You know, now we've recently learned we have listeners in like Singapore and Mexico and some places where, you know, if it's warmer and you can get those tropical fruits, you know, that's what's seasonal for you.
Yeah, do it. You lucky son of a gun.
Not to say you guys are celebrating Thanksgiving in particular, but you probably have gatherings with your families.
Yes. I mean, I would say that at least as far as any of the cultures I have been exposed to, celebrations around food happen everywhere.
Right.
So you could take these with these suggestions really with whatever holiday is applicable to you and your family or your friends, or even just where you're living for the time being, because I've been in those situations too.
Right.
So, you know, with pumpkin pies, with desserts and all those things too, you could always have like alternative ingredients or again, make your own instead of being store-bought. So maybe like a plant-based milk instead of evaporated milk or like a whole milk or something necessarily, or sugars. Using some honey?
Monk fruit. I don't know if you guys know what monk fruit is, but you can use it. The monk fruit will come, most of the time it's like a brown sugar looking thing. You can use it just like sugar. So if a recipe calls for one cup of sugar or one scoop of sugar, you can use it just the same. Monk fruit, you can get it at any kind of health food, you know, natural grocers, some of those places. And it's literally just sugar made from plants. And so it's a lot healthier of an option. It's not
beautiful.
Processed like white sugar would be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking to still have that nutrition involved, you can use monk fruit.
Yeah, sweet. Mm-hmm. And I've always heard like using plain yogurts for like sour creams and things like that instead. So, you know, the beauty thing about these days is one, we have the internet where there is a endless supply of information, where people who live all these alternative lifestyles put out that information for everyone to have access to. So you can find healthier alternatives that are still so, so, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe play a trick on your family, especially the ones who don't care for healthy food. See if they like it and then be like, bam!
Right. They're coming along with vegan cheese now. I'm very impressed with what they're able to do with vegan cheeses. They taste amazing.
Yeah, I've had some that do not, but I have had some that really, really, that you get that same cheesy satisfaction.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're coming into the end. I think we went a little over today, but whatever. We just talked about
whatever. Screw it, you're listening.
Right. So after dinner, you know, usually it's tradition to have some kind of digestive or dinner mint or something like that. Another one that you can incorporate into growing this season inside is mint. Now, just like basil, I think basil is really the cousin of mint is what I like to call it. But mint has a bunch of different varieties to it. Easy to grow inside. If you're growing strawberries over the spring and summer and you have those really nice strawberry pots that are a little different, you can grow it in one of those and grow really anything into a windowsill, which is really nice. Mint is fantastic for all kinds of culinary and medical uses, medicinal uses. And it's actually tracked thousands of years once again, back to the Bible even. You can hear and read about horse mint, which is a wild mint that's really tall, mentioned in the Bible a few times because of its medicinal uses. You know, people way back when used it to freshen their breath, all of those things. But it actually has a lot of different vitamins in it and minerals, which is really nice. And so if you're doing like, say, some kind of fruit and mint salad, you can put, there's so many different varieties of mint. You can grow like chocolate mint and then use it in ice cream afterwards. If you're doing mint tea, I would suggest maybe drinking it even before dinner. So that way you're kind of getting the digestive juices flowing while you're eating. It's got vitamin A, B6, it's got vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin K, beta carotene,
vitamin YZ, XW,
riboflavins, all kinds of really cool stuff, potassium, magnesium, iron. Really good, just antioxidant. Another one that's good for pregnancy. So obviously morning sickness is an issue. For me, I had the great pleasure of having afternoon sickness. So I'd be halfway through my day and then feel awful. So mint is great. And just incorporating that in a bunch of different ways, like I mentioned, to ensure, you know, you're getting the nutrients, you know, you're aiding in that digestion. So if you're eating a larger meal, that's a really great one. I'm going to be putting some other ones on the Patreon about different herbs that are helpful for digestion. Now, if you're looking for that and you're thinking about that throughout the holiday season, or if you want to do a quote unquote detox, really look at what's in those detoxes, what herbs you're getting. Diuretic herbs, herbs that cause diuretic.
The poops.
Right. Aren't necessarily always that great. You know, always look at how much you're drinking, water intake.
Oh, yeah. You can get really dehydrated, right?
Yeah. And it could really actually be a killer on your internal organs.
So when I was younger, I heard that Jägermeister was a good digestive, but I guess instead of some shots of Jäger at the end of a meal, I should grab my mint.
So the reason they say that is because of the licorice flavor.
Yeah.
And so sometimes licorice root and things like that can be good as a digestive. And so, you know, yeah, I mean,
I always felt back good about those Jäger, shots.
Right?
I guess there's another way you could go about digesting.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So I'll post some of those. You know, everybody knows ginger is a really good one. So if you do like a ginger or mint tea, stuff like that, just keep those things in mind and growing them over the holiday and the winter season gives you something to do indoors, especially since we're in COVID, we're kind of stuck inside. Maybe you're only virtually connecting with family and it's a really hard time for you right now. Keeping your mind and yourself busy is important.
And I also heard just growing mint inside may be helpful because it could be so prolific, right? Like it could spread so easily. So maybe you find that after this season, you enjoy growing mint inside so you don't have to worry about it spreading all over your garden.
Right. Yeah.
All the things. So I think that this has been a really great hour. There are a lot of ways you could go into this holiday with a completely different mindset, set yourself up to feel good.
Right. And don't wait until that magical day of January 1st to decide that you're going to do all of these and you have 20 different things you're going to change about, you know, whatever it is within your wellness journey. Take it slow, make it easy to incorporate, and just give yourself that grace.
Yeah. Finish off the year strong. I mean, yeah, I completely agree with Paula. There's no need to wait and then do all the things at once. And you know, the beauty thing is after this podcast, when you do cut up that garlic, when you do chop your kale, when you do eat that turkey or that even that pumpkin pie, maybe you'll remember that this is not just for the delicious factor or the indulgent factor, but this is doing so much good, so much beauty for my body internally. And in the end, you know, that's probably the greatest gift of food, coming together with family and then knowing how it is just working with you and for you and feeling connected to that.
Awesome.
And on that note.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you next time for an episode with potentially a guest.
Yeah. Ooh.
So we'll see.
Moving on up.
Right.
We'll have a beautiful Thanksgiving if we don't see you then. Before then. And peace and love, my friends.